Amen. All right, check this out. Up until the 1990s, no trial in American history attracted more attention than this one. It was held in 1925 in Dayton, Tennessee, and it accused a teacher, listen to this, of violating a state law that banned, believe it or not, the teaching of human evolution. And although the teacher had not even taught biology, and listen, couldn't even remember for sure whether he even discussed evolution while substituting for the regular teacher, he agreed to be arrested and stood trial anyway. Now, for the contest, you had the ACLU, the American Communist Lawyers Union, for those of you wondering what that really stands for. The ACLU brought in several big city attorneys, including the famed criminal lawyer and atheist, a guy named Clarence Darrow from Chicago. And to assist in the prosecution, the World's Christian Fundamentalist Association secured the services of a guy named William Jennings Bryan of Nebraska. He was also a three-time candidate for the president of the United States, believe it or not, and he was an anti-evolutionist. And it was until this trial that the most public schools in America taught the divine creation theory. Students in those days studied the facts of science, and they were told the evidence clearly indicates there is a creator who designed the universe and plants and animals, but that was soon to change. The trial lasted 8 days, and as expected, it ended, listen, in a conviction for the young teacher whose own attorneys even conceded his guilt. However, in that famous trial, atheist lawyer Clarence Darrow said this statement, watch this, and I quote, "It is bigotry to teach only one view of origin. Students should be taught both evolution and creation theories." So in 35 years following that trial, the theory of evolution was not only taught more and more, but it was being presented more and more as if it were a proven scientific fact. Until today, we actually have to deal now with this trial in reverse. Evolution is now the only theory that is taught. And if you guys have been paying attention to me name-dropping this trial in our previous studies, it was the famous Scopes monkey trial is what we're talking about, okay? But here's my point. Most of us maybe don't know about that trial. Maybe you do. But for some reason, what you need to know is that trial in 1925 became a major, major watershed moment for our country for negative purposes, okay? Because even though the evolutionists lost that famous case, all of a sudden momentum for evolution began to take a foothold. And then over the next 35 years, evolution began to be taught more and more and more in our schools until finally in the 60s, they removed prayer from our schools. Then they removed Bible reading from our schools. And then later, they eventually removed the Ten Commandments out of our schools. And so you remove God from the element, what do you think you get? Bad results. People behave based on what they believe. And if you don't believe there is a God, and that's what evolution tries to get people to be brainwashed with, you're going to act like it. In fact, let me prove it to you. And this is from 1963 onward, when evolution began to take a foothold in our educational system, instead of the creation, the biblical creation account that there is a God. He's the one who made everything. And you tell me if evolution has not had a negative side effect on the behavior of our citizens. Watch this. Back in the 1950s, the average textbooks only had 2,000 to 3,000 words about evolution. In 1963, it jumped up to 33,000 words, and it's gone ballistic until it completely took it over, and that's the only thing you get, right? And it also just so happens in 1963, that was the exact same time they took prayer and Bible reading out of schools. And so what's the effect? Well, this is from the official behavioral statistics of the U.S. Census Bureau. This is the government's data. And I want to show you the charts. Since 1963, sexually transmitted diseases among teenagers and young adults have increased nearly 400%, right? Cases of premarital sex among teenagers have skyrocketed, as you can see there by the chart. Unwed pregnancies among young girls are up 553%. If somebody had a kid out of wedlock, whoo-wee, that was a big thing. Not anymore. Now it's become the norm. Unmarried couples living together, up 725%. Wow. Divorce rates, up 111%. Single-parent households are now becoming the norm. SAT scores have plummeted. Alcohol and drug consumption have gone ballistic. Violent crimes are up 995%. Why? I think the picture says it all. If you teach kids they came from an ape, why are you so surprised when they act like an ape? Look like an ape. Dress like an ape. You tell them you're nothing? You tell them there is no God? You act godless? Why are you... People behave based on what they believe. And folks, this is what's going on, okay? Evolution has a horrible side effect, okay? Not just the behavior, erratic behavior, sinful behavior, but what we're going to see is the theme in this whole next section is evolution. We saw in the first section with intelligent design, it's all based on a lie, right? There's no evidence. Then they try to hide the lie, and we saw this in our last section with young creation, by kicking it way down the road in a fairy tale land. Land of land far, far away, millions and billions, because we don't see any evidence because it's a lie. Well, we found out that's a lie. And what we're going to see now is their mechanisms of evolution, how they say it's supposed to happen. Can you guess how it's going to end up? It's also a lie. The whole thing's a big fat lie. But here's my point. Lies not only beget lies, and that's all evolution is. And they rely on lies to keep it looking like it's somehow plausible or scientific. But these lies of evolution are deadly. And this is what we're going to see. Lies of evolution create murder. And the reason why is because lies and murder come from the same source. Now, let me demonstrate that to you, and then I'll demonstrate you the danger of this teaching of evolution. John chapter 8, 42 through 44, Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and now I'm here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the who? The devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire, i.e. the devil's desire." Well, what's Satan up to? Well, here you go. He was a what? A murderer from the beginning, meaning the creation account, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him, because when he lies, he speaks his native language, for he's what? He is a liar and what? The father of lies. We've seen this passage many times before, and it's not the only characteristics mentioned about Satan, but Jesus hones in on these two, and it goes back to the Genesis account, right? Which includes a literal Satan, okay? And he's the one that messed things up. But two characteristics is he's not just a liar, he's the father of all lies. So all lies ultimately come from who? Satan, right? Because he's the father. That's pretty clear. But it also says there, the other characteristics is he's a murderer and he's been one from the beginning. What's Jesus talking about? This is the character of Satan. His lies produce murder and he knows it. It isn't just he lies to mess things up. His lies, he knows, will eventually kill people. Go back, and that's why he says, from the beginning. That's the creation account. When Satan came in, everything was great. God made everything. It was very good. Here comes Satan. And he tempted Adam and Eve with what? A lie. Did God really say? Don't listen to him. Listen to Satan. And you could be like God. Lie. Well, they fell for the lie. What was the problem? Well, they lost their mortgage. No. What happened? They died. Not right away, but eventually they died. And Satan knew that, folks. He knew that when they bought into his lie, the father of lies, from the very beginning, that it was going to kill them. Right? He's a murderer. And he's been one from the beginning. And folks, I'm telling you, he's still doing the same thing today. Listen with the lie of evolution. It's not just a lie, but this whole next section is going to also demonstrate as a side thread that it is responsible for producing some of the biggest amounts of murder in the history of mankind. Satan knew exactly what he was doing. He didn't just launch this live evolution to get people off track. He knew it was going to kill them, to murder them on a massive degree. In fact, go back to the Scopes Monkey Trial. William Jennings Bryan, very clearly, if you do the research, the reason why he ponied up and said, "Yeah, man, count me in. I'll do whatever I can to dispel this lie of evolution," because he knew if this gets a foothold in our country, it was going to have some horrible side effects, right? Watch this.
In the centuries prior to World War I, most Western nations thought of themselves as Christian nations. William Jennings Bryan, a leading American politician committed to promoting Christianity in the public square, was deeply troubled by the war. When he learned that evolutionary thinking had played a major role in leading Germany into war, Bryan turned his energies to oppose the teaching of evolution of man in America. He traveled widely, warning about the dangers of teaching human origins contrary to the Bible. In response, Tennessee enacted a law making it illegal to teach that man has descended from a lower order of animals. But the ACLU was ready. It offered to defend any teacher willing to test the new law. And John T. Scopes, a young teacher in Dayton, Tennessee, accepted the offer. When the town asked Brian to defend the law, the famous lawyer Clarence Darrow offered to defend Scopes. The resulting trial took center stage in the hot summer of 1925. Before a worldwide audience, Darrow, a well-known agnostic, used the courtroom to attack Brian's view of the Bible. In the end, the ACLU failed to overturn the law, but it set a precedent. The Bible had been ridiculed in open court. Several decades later, the movie Inherit the Wind deliberately twisted the events at Dayton to make a veiled political attack on McCarthyism. The movie portrayed Christians as close-minded, ignorant bigots, suppressing the truth from children. Public opinion was swinging in America. Today, the situation from 1925 is completely reversed. In the schools, the evolution of man is taught as fact, and Christianity and the Bible have lost their place in the public square.
And as we've been seeing, it's all a lie. And hey, if it was true, we got to deal with it. But it's not. The whole thing is bankrupt. It's a lie. But not just a lie, but what did it say there at the beginning of that video? Why did William Jennings Bryan fight so hard against it? He said, and I quote, "Because when he learned that evolutionary thinking played a major role in leading Germany into war, Bryan turned his energies to oppose the teaching of evolution of man in America." Why? Because he knew the Bible. Satan's a liar, the father of all lies. He's a murderer and been one from the beginning. Lies from Satan eventually leads to murder. And it's the same thing with evolution. Now, let me prove it even more. And this I did find was very interesting. I like this guy's take on the video. But speaking of Germany war, we'll see this in greater detail, Lord willing, in our next section. But we've already talked about it a little bit. Why did Hitler murder the Jewish people? One, he was an occultist, but two, he was what? He was an evolutionist. And they were at the bottom of his evolutionary, what was called Hitler's hit list. And if he could have annihilated all of them as an inferior race, that's evolution, then he was going to keep on going until he was left with his Aryan race. That's all evolution is the underpinnings of that. And again, Brian's talking about Germany, leading Germany. So that's what enabled him. But that was 6 million Jews. And we hear about that all the time, and rightly so. And we should never forget that. It's called the Holocaust. What's interesting, and again, like this guy's take, you'll see in a second, post-World War II, another evolutionary mindset came onto the scene and is still here to this day. It's called communism. And still up to this day, the amount of people that have been murdered by the lie of communism is mind-blowing. But for some reason, they don't talk about it in schools. Watch this.
If your education was anything like mine, you probably learned an awful lot about the Nazis. You would have learned about how they killed millions in the death camps of the Holocaust, how Hitler was a fanatical leader that started the biggest war in human history. In contrast, you will have spent a vanishingly small amount of time on communism. Perhaps it was mentioned that Stalin was also evil and also killed millions of his own citizens. Perhaps you learned a little bit about the gulags or the purges. In my case, almost no time at all was spent on Mao's China. Then, if you were anything like me, a few years later, you might have heard the claim that communism actually killed more people than fascism, perhaps even up to 100 million people. How could that have happened, I remember thinking. I knew that the Nazis had killed around 6 million Jews in the Holocaust. Could communism really have killed more than 10 times as many? How exactly did they die? I knew how fascism killed people, in death camps such as Auschwitz, but how exactly did they die under communism? From forced labor camps, political purges, and massacres. First, I'll talk about labor camps. In communist Russia, the labor camps were known as gulags, and there were hundreds of them. Roughly 18 million people were sent to one at some point in their lives, of which about 1.5 million died. Conditions were as horrific as you would imagine. One Soviet official described them as such. Among the prisoners, there were some so ragged and lice-ridden that they posed a sanitary danger to the rest. These prisoners have deteriorated to the point of losing any resemblance to human beings. Lacking food, they eat rats and dogs. Gulags were the primary form of prison in communist Russia. Fear of being sent to one stopped people criticizing the regime. Even being suspected of being against communism was enough to get you sent to one. Those tactics terrorized the population. Much less is known about the prison camps in China, likely because the regime that set them up is still in charge and prevents the study of them. They function very much the same as the labor camps in Russia. Prisoners were used as slave labor to make anything from tea to coal. The conditions were, of course, horrific, and huge numbers died. We don't know exactly how many. Estimates range from 15 to 30 million. The final way that I'm going to talk about people dying under communism was due to direct violence. That took many forms, from purges of political opponents to peasant-on-peasant massacres. I talked earlier about the mass killings of wealthy peasants known as kulaks in communist Russia. Up to 5 million may have died. There was also Stalin's famous purge in the 1930s, which killed about 1 million people. In communist China, there were many massacres of many different types. Some of them were political purges, similar to Stalin's Great Purge. Others were non-political mass killings, often common people killing other common people. Here is a list from Wikipedia of those that happened between 1949 and 66. As you can see, there was a huge amount of violence during the Great Famine and the collectivization of agriculture. About 2.5 million of the deaths were due to violence. The first entry about land reform was essentially the Chinese equivalent of the massacre of the kulaks in Russia. It was where the communist government encouraged peasants to kill the former landlords of the old regime. The campaign to suppress revolutionaries and the anti-rightist campaign were, as the name suggests, essentially political purges. Anyone suspected of being against communism was targeted with violence. As you can see, millions died. There was also straight-up mass killing. One of the most famous examples was the Guangxi Massacre, where about 500,000 people were killed. People were beheaded, buried alive, boiled and drowned. One of the most bizarre aspects of the Guangxi Massacre was that there was a significant amount of cannibalism, with about 400 people eaten. I should stress that that wasn't due to famine or lack of food. One of the worst massacres in communist history actually happened in Cambodia. It was very similar to the purges in Russia and China. The Communist Party, known as the Khmer Rouge, wanted to get rid of anyone that was opposed to the revolution. They believed that the cities were filled with bourgeois elements that needed to be purged to create their ideal classless society. They forcibly evacuated Cambodia's cities, sending millions of people to rural labor camps in what became known as killing fields. Those that showed any sign of being an intellectual were most brutally targeted, such as doctors, religious figures, or even those who wore glasses. Many were executed outright, while others died from starvation, disease, or overwork. In total, about 2 million people died, about a quarter of the country's population.
Why? Because communism is based on evolution, atheism. So it's a lie. It's a lie from Satan. Lies from Satan will ultimately produce murder. He's a liar and father of all lies, but he's a murderer. He doesn't just lie to people. He wants to get the two-bang punch. He wants them to get murdered. Because if you get murdered, and if you don't have Christ your Savior, you join him in the lake of fire. This is really what's going on. But why don't we hear about that in school? In fact, I had my eyes open to this last summer. Billy and I was preaching over in Japan, and our first stop there was in Taiwan. Be honest with you, I didn't really know much about Taiwan, except I know they make computer chips there. Seriously, and some awesome beef noodle soup. Dude, that was, don't get me started on that. But anyway, and they got these things called fat noodles, man, about the size of your thumb. Woo-wee, I was closing prayer. No, all right, so we're over there in Taiwan, and I didn't even know this until I was there, and the locals there were telling me, there's actually two groups of people on Taiwan. There's what's called the indigenous Taiwanese. In other words, the people have been there the whole time. Then the bulk of the people there now in Taiwan are the people who fled from Mao Zedong from China, who relocated to that island to escape the massacre. And that massacre, low numbers killed by communist governments, and they're still in action today, the low number is 94 million. The high number, and these are just estimates because they don't tell you the truth, as high as 148 million. Almost half the United States murdered, and they're still going strong. Hitler killed six, and we talk about that rightly. So how come we don't talk about this? Well, because Satan knew, just like when he lied to Adam and Eve that it would kill him, he's got another deadly lie that's now permeated our country, and it's leading to the biggest mass murder in the history of mankind. And then what gets you is churches support it, or churches downplay it. So what? So my kid's being taught evolution in school. Get your kids out of the sewer pipe. You better homeschool your kids, man. This is massive, okay? But this is why we're going to continue our study, folks, with our study, The Witness of Creation. Again, what we're doing is taking a look at five different evidences from God that he's not just real, but we can really have a beautiful, loving, intimate relationship with him through Jesus Christ. Praise God. We saw for 10 weeks in a row, he gave us the evidence, Romans chapter 1, design. Design implies a designer, i.e. God. We saw that with intelligent creation. And then the last six times, who's counting? I am. We saw the evidence of a young creation. We saw the evidence we've not been here for millions and billions of years. We've only been here for about 6,000 years. And we saw that based on the scientific evidence. The evidence we saw from space. We saw the evidence from planet Earth. We also saw the evidence from logic, showing there's no way in the world that we have been here for millions and billions of years. We have been lied to. It's a fairy tale, long ago and far away. And they came up with that to try to hide the lies of evolution. Then we saw it gets even worse. These young ages, they called Jesus Christ a liar because he believed in a literal Genesis account with a literal Adam and Eve. They also call God the Father a liar. Woo, lightning bolt number two. Well, hey, three strikes you're out, and they are, because then we saw last time they called God's word a liar, and they do that by denying the very first page of the Bible. And they say, no, God didn't create all life and in six literal days and 24-hour periods over about 6,000 years that we've been in existence after he did that over six literal days and 24-hour periods. They said, no, it's completely my accident over millions and billions of years. And so the last three studies, we took a look at their so-called dating methods that they tried to give us as proof as to why we've been here for millions of years. And the whole thing's a joke. And the last one we saw last time was their supposed long ages for the formation of the earth. Remember? It rained on the rocks for millions and millions of years and created the soup and all that stuff and things of that nature. But then we looked at the caves, they say, take millions of years to form. The fossils take millions of years to form, and on it goes. Well, we took a look at the hardcore facts. Once again, shocker, it was a lie. We saw that polonium halos prove that wrong. John, you're never going to take that for granted again, are you? Never again. That's right, folks. But anyway, we all saw modern science. They now have rapid rock inventions and rapid fossilizations within 20. All these things don't take millions of years, folks. It's actually being replicated today. Caves themselves can happen in a very short amount of time. Even stalactites and stalagmites, we saw, can happen very rapidly. And even the fossils themselves happen not over millions and millions of years. They happen very rapidly. In fact, by their very nature, they had to happen very rapidly because we find them in the middle of giving birth, or in the middle of procreating, or the middle of eating some other carcass. That doesn't happen over millions of years. Something buried them very quickly, very rapidly. That's what we see in the evidence. And the fact is, the answer for that is not evolution, Noah's flood. Noah's flood is the reason why we find billions and billions and billions of dead things buried in rock layers. It's all the dead bodies. And they were buried in order based on the drowning order. As you can see here, watch this.
The fossil record proves the evolutionary order of life. Simpler creatures on the bottom, and more complexity as you move up the geologic column.
See, but I think the fossil record better explains the order in which creatures were buried, like in Noah's flood. See, starting at the bottom, the ocean floor, the fountains of the great deep broke open, and thus, the marine life in the ocean floor buried. Then, as the flood rose, they go into the shallow waters, and then to the coastal regions, and then to the swamplands, and finally, to the mountain regions. Your chart reflects this perfectly. It's just snapshots of dying creatures being buried underneath flood deposited layers.
The Bible tells us that God looked upon his creation, and behold, it was all corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. Judgment Day had finally come. God said, and behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven. And everything that is on the earth shall die.
Except Noah and his family, who trusted the Lord. That was a real event. Really happened. And the evidence is everywhere. Billions of dead bodies, carcasses, still in the dirt. Defending the Genesis count, the literal 24-hour day creation, the fact that we've only been here for around 6,000 years, it's a huge deal. It only explains everything that we see on planet Earth, including the fossils. Why are there so many dead things everywhere? But listen, it removes the stumbling block that the lie of evolution really is and has been put there by the little g, the god of this world, that's blinding the minds of people who do not believe. It's huge. And again, even this student gets it. Watch this.
I was just saying that it really doesn't matter what you believe from the Bible about the age of the earth. Yes.
Actually, I think it does. See, because it's talking about God's character and about, you know, whether we can even trust the Bible for its word. See, what it says is that God created a perfect world where he told animals and people to only eat plants. And then he told Adam and Eve that if they eat from the forbidden tree, then death would enter the world. They ate, and so death enters the world through pain, bloodshed, suffering, right? So that puts it on us, not on God. But if you add millions of years, well, then that means that God's very good creation was built upon death, pain, and suffering. Ultimately, many Christians believe that Jesus turned water into wine and that he raised Lazarus up from the dead, but they don't believe God's word whenever he says that he created the world how he did. If you ask me, I would say that if you want a strong faith with deep roots, then you should trust God's word from the beginning.
Amen to that. Never compromise with the Bible. I don't care how much man has control, the media, the school system, Hollywood, you name it. I don't care how loud they shout. They are wrong. God never gets it wrong. He's always right. We have not been here for millions and billions of years. Evolution is a lie. Their long-age fairy tale is a lie. We can trust Jesus. We can trust God the Father. We can trust God's Word, the Bible, that it's the truth. But I'm still preaching John, so guess what? There must be more, and there is. The third evidence, out of the five, we're getting there now, showing us that God's not only real, but we really can have a loving relationship with Him, is what I call a special creation. Keyword there is special, because that's not the message that people are getting. From We High, folks, again, it's a deadly lie, not just a lie, it's a deadly lie, this evolution thing. Think about what is being drilled into people's heads falsely everywhere you go. Cartoons, books, schools, Hollywood, you name it, okay? What's the message they're saying? Hey, Ron, just want to tell you something, buddy. Thanks for showing up to class, but you need to get this into your head, buddy. You are nothing, and you came from nothing, and you got no future and no special purpose for being here. Have a great day. Isn't that what they're saying? No wonder our world is so hopeless. It's a hopeless message. Now, contrast that to the biblical account. The Bible says you are special. Why? Because you were created by a special God in His special image, and He has a special purpose for your life. Ooh, that's like a missing message that people need to hear, okay? But as always, don't take my word for it. Let's look at that message from the very beginning, right? Genesis chapter 1, and let's take a look at the account of man. Did God create us for a good reason? Is there anything special about these lies, or is it just really a cosmic accident? Who gets it right? But Genesis chapter 1, we're going to read in the context there, being created on day 6, what's God up to? Starting with verse 24, and here's what it says. And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that move along the ground, and wild animals, each according to its kind. Notice He didn't say species, kind. He didn't say 300 different dog species. He said kind, dogs, male, female. Then they produce all the other ones, including the cool ones called weenie dogs. In case you guys are wondering. That's right. According to their kind. And it was so. And God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then, same day, let us, Elohim, plural, God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, let us make man in what? Our image and our likeness, and let them, man, rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in His own image. He says it again. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. And so God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Interesting. So, again, you don't need to have 45 math degrees. There's nothing complicated going on here. Even a 6-year-old kid can figure this one out, possibly even younger. But what's the Bible say? After God, on a literal 6-day creation, after God made the animals, what was the very next thing on the very same day He made? He made who? He made us. He made mankind, specifically male and female. That's the only two genders you're ever going to get, okay? But here's the problem. What does evolution say? Do they say that we were, as we just said, that we were specifically created, specially in God's image? It says they're repeatedly in His image. It's not by chance our existence. In His, unlike the animals, we, mankind, male and female, we got to be created in His image. But evolution does not say that we were specially created in the image of God for a special purpose. Listen, they say we were created by a cosmic accident. Listen, in the image of an ape. Right? This is no small chump change here, folks. This is blasphemous. Mankind, male and female, was created in the image of God. And then we all come from Adam. And they say, oh, no, no, no. We all come from an ape who then came from a chance occurrence from some goo. Evolution actually flips it on its head, shocker, the exact opposite of what God says. And God says, after He created the animals, He made mankind. Evolution says, mankind came from the animals. Do you get it? Just like Satan, the exact opposite. of what God says. So the first question then is, we just led the literal account, literally on day six, God made mankind, Adam and Eve, literally. So did they look like apes? No. Were Adam and Eve ape-like creatures? No. I don't think so. And you'll never get that impression if you let the Bible speak for itself. Watch this.
Myth number four is Adam and Eve were not real people, only allegories used to describe the first humans. Many professors in secular and even some Christian colleges place the Genesis creation account on equal footing with mythological writings from the ancient Near East. Indeed, one can look back in history and find many different accounts of human origins. What makes the Genesis account stand apart? Is there scientific evidence that supports the Bible's account of human origins? Let's look and find out. The Bible is very clear about human origins. Genesis lays out who made us, God, or Elohim in the Hebrew. What we were made from, dust. How we were made, divinely spoken into existence. Who we were made like, in God's image. Our role in creation, dominion, and our marital covenant for family. Scripture even includes when we were created during creation week, day six, and the time in history, about 6,000 years ago, based on the genealogies in Genesis. Next, Scripture is consistent about this account, with every Bible contributor in both the Old and New Testaments holding to the same description of how we came to be, spanning 66 books over 1,500 years written by 40 writers in three languages on three continents. Billions of people over the millennia have regarded the Bible's account of origins as historical and quite literal. Could they have all been wrong? Scripture is clear that Adam was the first man and Eve the first woman, the mother of the human race. The Apostle Paul inseparably connects Jesus to Adam, with Jesus coming to redeem us from the curse of sin and death brought by Adam. Paul also describes how Adam and Eve specifically as individuals fell into temptation. The Gospel of Luke even connects Christ's genealogy to Adam and Adam's son who lived after him. How could that be mythical? Without a real Adam, a real garden, a real tree, and a real enemy that led Adam and Eve into sin, the consequences for sin laid out in Genesis 3 has no foundation. And without this, the Gospel and the entire New Testament has nothing to stand on. Because of the sin nature we inherited from Adam, we are all in need of a Savior. That's the very foundation of the Gospel and the New Testament. Did Jesus die for the sins of a mythical Adam? Certainly not. Atheists also understand the problem of a mythical Adam and Eve. No Adam and Eve means no need for a Savior. It also means that the Bible cannot be trusted as a source of unambiguous literal truth. It is completely unreliable because it all begins with a myth and builds on that as a basis. No fall of a man means no need for atonement and no need for a redeemer. The truth is, God made us on the sixth day of creation to name and take dominion over the entire animal kingdom. This happened just thousands of years ago. God sent his son to redeem us from the fall that happened when our real forefathers sinned. We have been mercifully brought into a place of grace, forgiveness, and rest if we accept his sacrifice by confessing our sins and surrender our lives to him.
Amen to that, but hey, no need for that. Even the atheists admitted it. If it's all a myth, if you don't believe in a literal Adam and a literal Eve and a literal Genesis account, why did Jesus even go to the cross? Why even bring up redemption or salvation or from what? And folks, this is what evolution does. They deny the literalness of being created in God's image. Literally an Adam and Eve, a literal Garden of Eden, a literal fall, and a need for a literal redemption that Jesus fulfilled. It denies everything, folks. No wonder Satan attacks the Genesis account, because it makes the most important event, Jesus' redemption, look like a joke, right? And you tell me that people don't think that. The atheists even admit it. So we're going to take a look at this supposed ape-man evolution. And before we get into that, I wanted to give you, I'm sure everybody here who's got kids or grandkids have taken advantage of the homeschool next door. Yeah! And then nobody still, after me saying, get your kids out of the super pipe for 3 years, is doing that anymore. But anyway, for those of you who don't remember the days, I'm going to give you, and this, there's no exaggeration, obviously, there's no embellishment, obviously, I'm being honest. This is the, before we get into the ape-man myth lie, that we supposedly came from apes, and I wanted to give you the typical textbook response. Any kid right now who is going to secular school, this is what they are being told is the origin of man. Not what we just saw, not what the Bible says, from God and his image, Adam and Eve. Mm-mm. This is it. Direct quotes. I just put it to pictures to give you something to look at, right? But this is evolution's version of man. In textbooks, still to this day. And I quote, I'm not making it up. Here we go. In the beginning, about 4 billion years ago, the air was unfit to breathe. Really? Were you there? Were you taking tests? Were people eating chicken back then? How do you know? It's all made up, folks. But this is what they get right now in the textbooks. In the beginning, about 4 billion years ago, the air was unfit to breathe. The earth was without life. As the sun beat down, storms lashed the coast, and volcanoes poured hissing lava into the ocean's waters. Do you feel it? Do you feel it? Well, it was these natural jolts that fused simple molecules into more complex ones. Amino acids started to form and then interact with each other, and soon primitive proteins were fashioned. Perhaps, notice the key word there, perhaps. You're just making this up. Perhaps as a worm-like molecule. Yeah. Somehow the right molecules got together and the first living cell appeared. What? Yeah. This first living cell is, quote, this is from the textbooks, is the great ancestor of all plants and animals on earth, including man. Grandpa? That's where we came from? That's what they're saying. Oh, but it gets even better. From this first cell, all other forms of life evolved and is actually the father of us all. How did man come from this first cell? Here's the story. Key word there, story. This is in the textbooks. It's supposed to be science. As time went on, this first cell develops into an amoeba-like organism that could survive in the ocean. How did you know? Were you there watching it swim? Well, it's a joke. After millions of years, these creatures evolved into fish. I think Gary Larson got it right. It was that softball team that they created, and they lost their ball, and that was the impetus for the whole thing, right? Hey, you're going to make up a story? I'm going to make up one, too. But let's move on. Some of these fish develop lungs. So, well, that's a good trick. How many guys woke up one day and says, you know what, I'm just going to make something new inside me? Yeah, whatever. So they develop lungs so that they could survive outside the water. And look, they even drew pictures, so it's got to be real. And gradually, they began to make their way onto land as the first amphibians. And it was these amphibians that evolved into reptiles, and the earth became populated with great dinosaurs. And some of these reptiles developed legs and became what we call today mammals. But others developed wings, and they flew away and became birds. So, where did man come from? Yeah, I'm wondering. Well, and this is a direct quote, and this is a picture of one. One of these early mammals was known as a tree shrew and was not much larger than a squirrel, and it looked like a squirrel. They're saying we came from that. So here's Grandpa number two. He's talented. Lake Mead, skiing, do what he can, trying to evolve. Right? Let's move on. And it was this creature, and this is from the textbooks, this is what they're being taught, that lived in the trees and gradually evolved from that squirrel-looking shrew thing into primitive monkeys and other ape-like creatures. And from these ape-like creatures, there evolved the great apes that we see today in zoos, as well as a creature who came down from the trees and started walking upright. Right? Apparently they could dance. John, you got to work with it. Got to work with it, right? And I quote, and this is the exact order, and this is their exclamation point, not me. So let me read that again. Let me set it up for you. The great apes that we see in zoos today is what that squirrel turned into, they say. And as the creatures who came down from the trees and started walking upright, and I quote, this is man. All righty. In fact, our father, that very first living cell, would have been very proud of us if he could have seen how far we've come over all these millions of years. I don't think he's proud, because me personally, I can't even find his smile. Do you see his face? How about an eyeball? Anything? This is exactly still to this day, I'm not making it up, that's verbatim what is printed in textbooks today. And people, even Christians, send their kids, and you wonder why they grow up against God. And hey, if it was true, you got to deal with it. But it's not. The whole thing's a lie designed to lead them away from God. It's a joke. But that's the typical story. You wonder why kids are acting all crazy, right? What's the message they get? It has nothing to do with the Bible. And dare I say, with the facts, It's a typical made-up story that, listen, we supposedly came from a supposed simple cell to a blob of gel to an ape that smells. Did I get that right? Is that the order? That's what kids are being brainwashed. Okay, so let's take a look at this. Did we really evolve from an ape that came from a squirrel, that came from a shrew, that came from an amphibian, that came from a fish, that came from an amoeba? I don't think so, right? Now we're going to take a look at the reason why I know that's not true is because the whole thing obviously is a lie. Every mechanism of evolution that they say, here's proof, is a lie, including this ape man. And again, this is all over the schools. This is still in textbooks today. And every single example, wait till you see how many examples, is a flat-out lie. That's all they got. The premise of evolution is a lie. The young ages, or the old ages, is a lie. And everything about this thing is a lie. But it's a deadly lie because it produces murder. So let's take a look at what's really going on. How about the myth of Nebraska Man? How many of you guys were taught that? Praise God, you guys already forgot. That's good from a Christian perspective. But Nebraska Man, let's take a look at that. 1922, scientists discovered a fossil that was reported to be 1 million years old and was heralded as the missing link. You hear about that still to this day. You know what the only problem with the missing link is? It's still missing. And it will always be missing because it's a made-up baloney, right? But they said this Nebraska Man, it was called Nebraska Man because it was found in Nebraska. You guys are biblical archaeologists. This is amazing. But it was founded by this guy, Henry Osborne. He was an eminent paleontologist. He said it combined the characteristics of chimpanzees and man, right? And this first fossil became famous. Why? Because this is the one that was used for evidence for evolution in the Scopes monkey trial. Oh, interesting. So this was their so-called proof. Well, let's take a look at it. For many years, evolutionists described Nebraska Man as a missing link. The only problem was it didn't belong to any type of human or an ape. And I'm not joking. You could check this out yourself. It was actually the mere remains of a tooth. And not even a human tooth. It was a pig tooth. Evolutionists built a whole imaginary society and a lifestyle. And they used this for defense in the Scopes monkey trial from a single pig tooth. Right? In fact, still to this day, they built an entire Nebraska Man out of plaster of Paris and imagination. They even gave him a wife, as you can see there. And I like what this one guy says. Man, you got to be pretty good to know what his wife looks like from his tooth. Let alone the whole guy. And it's not even a human tooth. It's a pig tooth, right? And so therefore, that's right, Bob, our keen scientific mind, based on the evidence, because we deal in the truth here. Here is the real Nebraska Man, right? Still being used as proof of ape man evolution, and we're just getting started. How about Piltdown Man? Oh, this is a big one. For more than 50 years, we were led to believe that this ancient creature was another supposed ancestor of modern man. It was found in a gravel pit in England in 1912. Piltdown Man was considered by some sources to be the second most important fossil proving the evolution of man. But let's take a look at it. When two scientists eventually took a closer look, they found that Piltdown Man was what? A fraud. They do this all the time. This is even secular sources admit this. Watch this. The original discoverers took a human jaw and an ape's jawbone. They filed them down and made them fit together. Right? That's called a lie. Then they even went further. They treated them with acid to make them look old and then, quote, buried them in a gravel pit and, oh, hey, look what we found. It's admitted even in the secular press. Watch this.
Immediately it became plain that the staining on the bones was superficial. The artifacts had been stained. Material which had been cut was probably cut when it was already fossil using a steel knife.
When the scientists looked at Piltdown Man's teeth under the microscope, they got another shock.
There is some evidence for the fact that the teeth, in fact, had been filed down. There were sort of still scratch marks, deep scratch marks, obviously been made by some implement that had been used to sort of bring these molars down to a particular desired shape.
The jawbone dated back less than 100 years. It came from a female orangutan.
Pieces were broken off which could have shown that the jawbone did not belong with the skull. So they removed the pieces that would have shown the bones did not match directly. This canine tooth was filed down and rubbed down to make it much smaller.
In the front part of the jaw here, it's been broken off, which obviously takes away the telltale signs that it obviously is an ape and not a, quote, humanoid jaw.
All the evidence pointed to only one conclusion. Somebody had forged the Piltdown fossils. Scientists were stunned. Who would do such a thing, and why?
It's because it's from evolutionists, and it's all a lie, and that's what they do. They come up with lies to support the lie. Folks, we're just getting started. That's all. Every single one. Pick one. Everyone's a bunch. But Piltdown, man, watch this. 500 people studied that fossil, wrote PhD dissertations on it, earned a doctorate degree on a fraud. Right? And even Trump knows better. For decades, boys and girls went to school, and they were taught that that thing was proof of evolution, and the whole time it was a hoax. And they knew it, folks. I wonder how many kids during those years lost their confidence in the Bible and doubted Jesus because of that lie. And you better read the Bible. What the Bible says God will do rhymes with a millstone around your neck when you become a stumbling block for the kids there. How about Neanderthal man? Oh, you've heard of that one, right? I mean, that's got to be proof. Watch this. This one's crazy. He was the first supposed ape man found back in Darwin's day, right? They still use it to this day, right? Synonymous with brutishness, Neanderthal, or Neanderthal, however you want to pronounce it, 1856 in Germany, was found by a school teacher. And what they discovered was a skull cap and a few other bones. There you go. In 1908, a professor Boulet in the Institute of Human Paleontology in Paris declared that Neanderthal was an ignorant, knuckle-dragging ape-like man from a couple bones. All right? But he did this because he said the low eyebrow ridges, and it had like a stooped-over posture, they said. All right? Inquiring minds want to know. Let's examine the evidence, right? It has actually been discovered that Neanderthal was just as human as us, right? Now they admit his stooped-over appearance was because of arthritis and rickets, which is a vitamin D deficiency. The Neanderthal skeleton they found was bent over not because he was slowly evolving coming up. He was an old man with arthritis slowly going down. I won't point fingers, but anybody here tonight can verify that that is a process. Yes. Thank you, Dennis, for your honesty. All right. In fact, this expert, Rudolf Virchow, he declared, quote, the curved leg bones were the result of rickets, a vitamin deficiency, and the knots of the bone above the eyes were caused by a damage to the skull. And I quote, as far as the low eyebrow ridges and long sloping forehead, see, it's got to mean it came from an ape. Nope. We see the same feature in people still alive today. This guy's a Malaysian native with the same exact skull characteristics. I don't recommend you call him an ape. He will probably kill you. Right? Furthermore, the culture of these, watch this, this is even more proof, of these so-called Neanderthals, remember it's supposed to be dumb ape creatures, show that they were skilled hunters, believers in an afterlife, even surgeons. But the Neanderthal man is still in textbooks today, even though it was proven wrong 50 years ago. Why would they do that? Because that's all they got is lies, right? But watch this.
For years, scientists have portrayed Neanderthals as gorilla-like cavemen, kind of like a last step between ape-like creatures and humans. But nowadays, they probably looked more like this.
Hey, cute man, do.
Why are they still being used as evidence for ape-like creatures turning into humans? I mean, they seem much more advanced than many ancient people groups. Don't we all know somebody with those well-defined deep eyebrows? Right? I mean, they also had jewelry. They had musical instruments, weaponry, medicine, artwork. That scientists are still trying to replicate a type of glue they used for their weaponry.
I even heard that the Neanderthals lived with, had families with, and were buried with modern humans. So to me, that settles it. I think they're just humans.
It sure does.
Be nice if those conversations would actually take place in schools, but most people aren't being equipped like that. But I wouldn't even recommend putting your kids there in the first place. We need to protect them, folks, and get them a godly education. The myth of Java man, right? How many guys like coffee? Praise God. It has nothing to do with this. Let's move on. Java man was another one of the first alleged ape men ever found, and, of course, shocker, used by evolutionists. He was found on the island of, hence Java, the name, and was reported to be yet another missing link between man and ape. Now, he was discovered by this guy, Dutchman Eugene Dubon, in 1891. And all that he found was a skull cap, three teeth, and a femur. How many of you guys have problems just putting together a puzzle? Can you imagine getting no box to the puzzle, and it's a 1,000-piece puzzle, and you get two of them? And then you can say confidently, yeah, I know exactly what this looks like. This is stupid. In fact, the femur was found, watch this, 50 feet away from the original skull cap. A year later, how fast was that car going when it hit that monkey? It's crazy. And after serious study, it was discovered that the two other pieces of the jaw of a man were from two different skulls from two different areas on the island. They're putting it together like a jigsaw puzzle. Liars. And then later on, close study, Eugene Dubois, he made the original discovery. He actually rejected the authenticity and admitted that his fossil findings were the mixing together of human skull remnants and the femoral bone of a giant gibbon. All right? Let's go over to Peking Man, right? This supposed man-like creature was found in a cave in Peking, China, during the early part of the last century, but no other scientists have directly observed the original site and has not been actually seen in more than 50 years. Nothing suspicious, just keep looking. In fact, only the skulls of Peking Man were found, as well as a few human-like tools, but never the lower skeleton. And what's interesting is that all the examples of Peking Man had the back of their skulls smashed in. Let's take a look at what was really going on. This exactly matched the results of when people in that region hunt for and eat monkey brains. Put a little gravy on it, apparently it's okay. And there are people still to this day, I won't mention where they live, who actually still eat monkey brains. That's a big thing. In fact, let's deal with it. Here's a picture. Monkey meat is very tough and quite difficult to eat, but monkey brains are considered a delicacy for a lot of the folks in the Southeast. Hey, don't act too sick. You guys are still eating chicken. I've warned you for years, right? You put gravy on it too. Be real. So as it turns out, here's what was going on. Peking Man represents not man's ancestor, but man's meal. The tools they found were the ones to bash in the skulls and eat the brains of a monkey. That's all it was. It's a lie. Big lie. And so is this one. Ardipithecus remedus. It's got to be real because it's hard to pronounce. I can't even spell it, John. Well, they call it Ardi for short. And they found this in 1994 by this guy, Tim D. White. And again, it was another supposed proof for human ape evolution. Or was it? No, it wasn't. It's another lie. Watch this.
Ardi is significant because we believe she walked upright based on where her spine enters her skull.
Was the skull complete, like shown in the Science Journal?
Actually, no. They reconstructed it from over 110 bone fragments found over a 30-foot area.
Right. So how did her spine enter her skull from the pieces that they found? Because, I mean, there's not much to go on there. Did they find any neck vertebrae?
Well, actually, again, no. We have no neck vertebrae.
So let me get this straight. So they have no base of the skull. They guessed on where the spine entered the skull, and they have no neck vertebrae?
Question evolution, folks. Just because it's in a textbook, just because they make a documentary out of it, just because the government pays for these people to dig in the dirt and make this stuff up, doesn't make it real. Including Ramapithecus. How many of you guys going to name your next pig that? How many of you guys got a pet pig? Well, praise God. You're honest tonight. Let's move on. For many years, for more than 20 years, Ramapithecus was considered one of the man's ancient ancestors on the basis of what? Some teeth and jaw remnants. In fact, he is included in millions of textbooks, Time Life volumes on human evolution. In fact, a detailed reconstruction of his whole body walking upright was constructed from jaws and teeth. That's it. And that wasn't bad enough. Fossil findings in Turkey in 1980 and in Pakistan in 1982, what? Proved that Ramapithecus represented extinct kinds of monkeys that closely resembled orangutan. But they still use it today. How about Orsman, right? This creature was found in a southern Spanish town, Ors, that's hence the name, 1982. It was hailed the oldest fossilized human remains ever found in Europe. In fact, scientists said the skull belonged to a 17-year-old man who lived 900,000 to 1.6 million years ago. How's that for exact dating? How would you like to have that spread when you fill out your taxes? Maybe it was this, maybe it was that. Yeah. And they even made detailed drawings as to what he would look like. Can you see? Look at that. It's got to be real. They got a whole culture. And I quote, only 1 year later, officials admitted that the skull fragment was not even from a human. It was a four-month-old donkey. But still used for evolution. How about this one? Homo habilis. Look at that. Look at that. This has got to be real. This isn't a hand drawing, folks. That is computer generated. Look at those eyeballs. They're even orange, man. Like he had too much. Maybe he visited Java, man, had way too much coffee. He didn't get no sleep. He had to come in for this interview, and he's all wigged out. I don't know. But it looks real. He's also known as Handyman and said to be an extinct species from the early Pleistocene from East and South Africa about 2.4 million years ago. Or is it? Am I seeing a track record? Can you guess? Yeah, it's another lie. Watch this.
So, wait. They didn't find a single one?
Technically, they haven't found any complete Homo habilis skeletons. Not even close to complete. Even though Homo habilis, or handyman, is one of the better-known icons of human evolution, they found about 100 bone fragments they assigned to Homo habilis.
But in our textbooks, in our museums, and even online, they're shown looking complete. They have human eyes and eye whites, which apes don't have. And then, down later on in our textbook, it says that Homo habilis was becoming human because they used stone tools nearby. But how do we know if those were used by them, or rather used on them?
We don't. They have found thousands of bones from other butchered animals in the same area. They even found a 12-foot circular hut foundation in the same rock bed.
That, to me, sounds like modern humans were living there, eating and butchering animals like Homo habilis. I don't think they were evolving.
And they weren't. You see in the pattern here, they're just scraping the barrel, making this stuff up, right? Including, I had to hit this one because this was one of the big ones. You'll see this on the Heretical Channel, I mean History Channel, National Geographic, all that stuff, right? It's Lucy, huh? Yeah, explain this one, Lucy. Watch this. Lucy's been almost universally accepted as mankind's earliest supposed ancestor. 1974, she was found in Dar Valley, Ethiopia by this guy, Donald Johansson. By the way, if I have my information right, he was, I think it was it 3 days, 4 days before he was about to run out of his grant money. Gotta find something quick, Ron. If you want to live off the government. He named it Lucy, believe it or not, after the Beatles song, Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, LSD. With all due respect, you got to be on LSD if you think that this proves evolution. When the bones were studied by a spectrograph, they actually matched a chimpanzee rather than a man, and that's the tip of the iceberg. What scattered bones they did find were assembled from, again, totally different locations. The knee joint was found, watch this, a mile and a half away from the rest of the skeleton, and yet National Geographic said, this is Lucy's knee. How in the world, how fast was that train going when it hit that monkey? A mile and a half away. Can you imagine just walking? Hey, yep, that's over there. That's it. It's got to be. It's a joke. But Donald never corrected them, right? Bunch of lies. Then he said he thought Lucy was becoming a human due to the fact that an ape has a straight femur. But Lucy's knee was angled to the side, just like a human's. Well, hello. Although monkeys that walk on the ground do have a straight femur, monkeys that climb in trees, guess what they got? An angled femur. All it shows is that she was a tree-climbing monkey as opposed to a monkey that walked on the ground. That's it. And if that wasn't bad enough, as you can see there, the St. Louis Zoo put up a display of Lucy with human feet on her, and guess how many feet bones were found? None. They made it up. It's all propaganda, folks. It turns out Lucy is just a tree-climbing monkey. Some feel there might still be some alive today in Sumatra down near Vietnam. The whole thing, again, was a total fabrication, as you can see here. Watch this.
Okay, now on to Lucy, the single best example we have of human evolution.
Just a small pile of bones?
Well, this isn't just any pile of bones. These are replicas of the bone fragments of Lucy.
Is this here the same one at St. Louis Zoo?
Yes, that's the one.
Could you show us all of her skull fragments, please?
Well, they actually didn't find much. It's just these pieces here.
What about a vertebrae, neck vertebrae?
Well, they only found one neck vertebra, but they later discovered it didn't belong to Lucy. It belonged to an extinct monkey.
What about her wrists? Were they like ours, or were they locked in place for chimp walking?
Here's a wrist bone. They locked just like chimps today.
Where are her feet and hand bones?
They actually didn't find any.
Well, that didn't stop them from putting them on every statue of her in any museum I've seen.
Her bones actually refute evolution.
Okay, Paul, if you know so much, why don't you come on up here and tell us all about it?
As you can see, they could only find 5 of her skull fragments. The rest of it here, the white areas, all up to the imagination. Then, her neck vertebrae. The only problem is, you only found one, and it's not hers. It actually belongs to an ancient Therapithecus, which is a monkey, not an ape. Next, her pelvis. They actually believe that she walked upright because of her pelvis, but when they found it, it was crushed. So what they did is they reassembled it using a power saw to make it look like she walked upright. It seems like your best evidence for evolution is missing a few pieces.
We know our early ancestors, like Lucy, were walking upright because we found her footprints in Tanzania.
Wait a minute, weren't those footprints like 1,000 miles away from where Lucy was found?
Yeah, give or take.
Well, how big were her foot fossils?
Well, they didn't actually find Lucy's hands or feet.
Well, so how big were the actual Tanzania footprints?
About 10 inches long.
That's how big my feet are, and I only wear 9.5.
So wait a minute, so they never found her feet, but Lucy, a 3.5 foot tall person, made 10 inch long footprints 1,000 miles away? If you ask me, it sounds like the story that Lucy walked upright is lacking some evidence based on the Tanzania footprints.
A 3 foot monkey with a 10 inch foot, that's a freaky monkey. But 1,000 miles away. Yep, that's from that monkey. What a joke. Do you see how bankrupt this is? Just as much as evolution, just as bankrupt as the millions and billions of years supposed to prove, so it is with all this, folks. Lies beget lies beget lies beget lies, right? Including this one, Rhodesia Man. This one's crazy. Watch this. He was found in what is now called Zimbabwe, considered to be the first early human fossil found in Africa. Oh, boy. However, paleontologists soon discovered that the creature somehow suffered from modern tooth decay. See what happens when you eat chicken? Deal with it, people. Look at your future. Don't close your eyes. Deal with it. See, if you look really close, you can see the initials KFC. All right, let's just move on. And they were having a hard time understanding, watch, how this modern disease of civilization could have supposedly attacked this prehistoric man. Well, yeah, duh. It's because it wasn't. If that wasn't bad enough, and I'm not joking, they found 2 very odd holes in the side of the skull. And that caused the experts some problems. Watch this. As it turns out, Professor Meyer of Berlin said that they looked like the entry and exit holes of modern-day bullet. Those ape gangs were pretty bad in the day, John. I'll tell you what. I mean, you had to be seriously on your game, man. Here's the truth. It's actually the remains of a female gorilla, and it was shot in the head. It's a joke, folks. It's a complete joke. So is To My Man. Look at that one. That's even behind glass on a pedestal. In some important building. It's got to be true, Ron. No, it doesn't. Watch this. Last but not least, here's yet another recent supposed proof called To My Man, supposedly existing millions of years ago in the late Miocene era, proving humans evolved from apes, or did it? I don't think so. Take a look at this.
In 2001, a fossil skull found in Chad electrified the world's scientific community. Nicknamed Toumai, this creature supposedly lived when the human and chimp lineages allegedly split, making it the oldest human ancestor ever found. The leader of the team that made the discovery confessed, "It's a lot of emotion to have in my hand the beginning of the human lineage. I have been looking for this for so long. I knew I would one day find it, so it's a large part of my life." But not all scientists accept this conclusion. For instance, Dr. Bridget Sennett of the Natural History Museum in Paris dismissed the skull as a mere female gorilla. With such conflicting opinions about the same skull, it does make you wonder. Perhaps the skull's discoverer let his emotion and desire for discovery obscure his interpretation of the evidence.
In other words, you want your grant money so bad to be renewed, you want evolution to be true so bad you will lie and make anything into an ape, man. That's exactly it. Now, let me conclude with this. And I just came across this resource. I kid you not, if you want to do some deep dives on this, I'm just giving you highlights. And then we got to move on to the next one, right? These series are long enough as it is. But The Myth of Ape Man, this is the resource. Check it out. Take a picture of it. Do something. Human Evolution, The Grand Experiment. This is Volume 4, 9 Categories of Overturned Ape Men, right? Fantastic resource. Evidence pictures. But let me explain it to you. For 25 years, this guy, he wrote it, Dr. Carl Werner, his wife, traveled the world photographing hundreds of fossils believed to be ape men and filming at the excavation sites where they were unearthed, so on location. During their journey, they interviewed 43 leading experts in human evolutionists across 5 countries without revealing their true intent to critically examine the evidence for human evolution and determine whether it holds up to scrutiny. Why? Because the moment you say you're a Christian, you're not going to get the truth. Right? So they just went in there and observed. This is true. And he documented it in this book. Watch this. He exposed 150 cases of misrepresentation in the field of human evolution involving renowned scientists from some of the most prestigious institutions, including the American Museum of Natural History in New York, the Natural History Museum in London, national museums in France, Kenya, South Africa, Argentina, and beyond. And quote, his research reveals that these fossils belong either to ordinary apes or to fully human individuals, while others were, listen, altered or misrepresented in over how many? 200 species of purported eight men offering a reevaluation of the evidence. We looked at about, what, 10 tonight? He's saying every single one I found was a lie. Up to 200. I don't care if they come out with one tomorrow on the news. You know what it's going to be? I'll guarantee. A lie. Somebody's running out of their grant money. This is how, it's a racket, folks. This is what's going on. But I'd say based on the evidence, it looks like somebody's trying to make a monkey out of us. I waited all week to share that. Thank you. And that was good. Thank you, Corgi. I'll give you a gum later. But that's right. But believe it or not, through all this investigation, I don't want to boast, but I feel like I've got a pretty good keen eye, scientific mind, John. And so I'm out there spotting these phonies. Okay, but there's another one, the latest one. And people saying this is genuine proof. They've got photographs. And you put them together, and it proves supposed ape-man evolution. Watch this. Take a look. Okay, maybe that one's true. Maybe that one's true. But the other ones are false. No, that's just a joke. Yeah. But to see how easy it is, you just string some pictures together and make up a tale, throw in some freaky music, special effects. You can make anybody turn into an ape. Okay? But really, what's really wild is I was able to find that just like with the millions and billions of years, you find people in their camp that say, it's not really true. Same thing with paleontologists, evolutionists. In their own camp, they say, yeah, we're making it up. Direct quotes, watch this. They even admit it. Anthropologist Tim White, he said, the problem with a lot of anthropologists is that they want so much to find a hominid, a missing link, that any scrap of bone becomes a hominid bone. That's exactly it. At least he was honest in that aspect. T.L. Moore, he said this, the more one studies paleontology, the more certain one becomes that evolution is based on what? Faith alone. I thought you're not supposed to have faith in schools, right? It's a joke, folks. Anthropologist E.A. Hooten, watch what he said. He said, from a Neanderthal skull, an artist can fashion the features of a chimpanzee or what? A philosopher. And that it is wise to not put your faith in reconstructions. Those are, yeah, exactly. And watch this. Lord Zuckerman, he's a British anatomist, he said this. If man evolved from an ape-like creature, there is not even a trace of such evidence in the fossil record. Right? Now, before I go on to the next one, stop and think about that. We're gonna deal with this. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. The whole premise is that you started off supposedly with an ape that came from the shrew, the amphibian, the fish, the amoeba. But whatever, let's just go to the ape. And then over millions and millions of years, slowly over time, these apes slowly, like that picture of Clinton, slowly transition ever so slightly into a human. Now, what we find today is we have fully formed apes, and what we find today is fully formed humans. How many guys can verify that? Okay. So therefore, based on the whole idea of evolution, that you have slow, minute transitions, like the picture of Bill Clinton there, just a little change, and then another little change, another little change, another little change, and then, and this is going on for millions of years, another little change, we find all over the place fully formed apes, fully formed humans. You know what we find nowhere? Anything in that, it's called transition fossils. Anyway, but yet, based on the evolutionary mindset, which should we be tripping over? This middle category between the two should be millions and millions of these transitions. And yet, how many do they have? None. Because it's a lie. Right? I like what one guy says this, but let me finish what this guy says. Miles Edwards, he said, listen, we paleontologists have said that the history of life supports the story of gradual adaptive change, all the while really knowing what? It does not. It's a lie. Which is why I like what one guy says, if all you have is lies to support your theory, maybe it's time to get a new theory. And we have to realize, folks, this is not just a war of ideas. You wonder why our society is getting so godless? You wonder why people are acting and treating each other like animals? What you believe determines how you behave. And believe it or not, way back when, even Martin Luther, as we close, warned about don't you ever get this into the minds of kids. He said, I'm much afraid that the schools will prove to be the great gates of hell unless they diligently labor in the explaining of what? The scriptures, engraving them in the hearts of youth. I advise no one to place his child where the scriptures do not reign paramount. Every institution in which men are not increasingly occupied with the word of God must become corrupt. And that's what's happened. We didn't listen. We caved in, even the church, with this lie. But you might be thinking, okay, I got it. So maybe the supposed evolution of ape man is a bunch of baloney. But what about the animals? Don't they also say in the textbooks they know evolution is true based on horse evolution and whale evolution and natural selection, right? Mutations, vestigial organs, huh? Everybody knows that that tailbone came because we were once a monkey. Is that true? No, it's not. Every single one of those is a lie, and they know it's a lie. But we're out of time. We'll deal with that next time. Let's pray. Father, we love you and thank you again for our study tonight. And once again, thank you for reiterating to us that every bit of your word is true. No matter how much this world lies and to the contrary, you never lie. You always get it right. And all we got to do is just do our homework, and sure enough, it's a lie. But we also saw tonight again where those lies come from. They come from Satan, but we also saw no wonder our world is getting so evil. It's because of this lie called evolution. It produces murder. It produces all kinds of atrocity. If they truly believe there is no God, then they don't think they're accountable for their behavior. The strongest, the fittest get to survive. We're not dealing with Hitler today, but we're dealing with people like Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum and Bill Gates and all these people around the planet who think it's their duty to clean up the race. Get rid of those useless people. That's evolution. We're still dealing with it today. Help us to get equipped, God, with your truth, not just for us, but to share to the people who are being lied to and to do what we can in these final days to beat back the darkness, the lies, the murderous lies, including the lie of evolution. But thank you for our study tonight. Please bless it to these lives that belong to you. We ask all this in your wonderful name, in Jesus' name, and all God's people said. Well, hi, this is Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries, and I hope you were blessed with this study. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. If you were to die today, are you sure that you go to heaven and not hell? Before you answer that, let me share a couple things that the Bible says. Did you know that the Bible says that God is holy and that we are not? And the wages of our sin or unholiness is death? In other words, we deserve to die and go straight to hell and be separated from God for all eternity. This is the great cosmic dilemma. God, who is holy and we are not, how can we have a relationship with Him? The two will never mix. Now, to make matters worse, we don't even want to admit this, even though God already knows He's God. And so God, out of love, gave us something called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were not something to just memorize or stick on your wall or give the appearance of being a religious person. The Ten Commandments were God's divine X-ray, if you will, into our heart and soul to reveal this truth that we need to admit. And that is this, that God is holy and that we are not. We are disqualified for heaven. So let's take a look at that divine X-ray that God's trying to get us to realize. The Ten Commandments, the ninth one says, you shall not bear false witness. That's lying. Okay. How many guys have ever told a lie? Raise your hand. Okay. Well, if you didn't raise your hand, you just did. You just told a lie because we've all done that. Well, that makes us a liar. Another Ten Commandment says that you shall not steal. Don't ever take anything without permission. How many of you guys have ever done that? Well, you guys already said you're a bunch of liars. All of our hands should have went up on that one. And if we're being honest, God already knows. Folks, we've all taken something. We've stolen something, right? That makes us a thief. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. He's not just holy, even his name is holy. Hey, folks, let's be honest. If you can believe it, even the name of Jesus Christ has been turned into a common cuss word. Well, the Bible says that's a sin of blasphemy. Now we're a blasphemer. The Bible says you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus said, here's his standard. Even if you look at another person with lust in your eye, you committed adultery in your heart. Wow, so now we're an adulterer. The Bible says you shall not murder. And you might think, well, hey, at least I haven't done that one. Really? Again, the Bible says that the sin of hatred, wishing somebody was dead, okay, that's the same thing. It's akin to the sin of murder. It's just you pulled the trigger in your heart, but God sees the heart. Hey, folks, that's just 5 out of 10. How are you doing? You still think you're going to get to heaven on your own? You still think that you're qualified, that you're holy like God, and you could bridge the gap and have a relationship with him forever? I don't think so. I mean, what did we just see? You're going to stand before God, and so am I. We all are. And we're going to have to give an account for who we are. Hey, God, let me in. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a blasphemer. I'm an adulterer. I'm a murderer. And the scripture is very clear, folks. Such people as these will not inherit the kingdom of God. We're in trouble. But folks, here's the good news. The Bible says that if we would just admit that, that's the first step. To admit that God is holy, that I'm disqualified for heaven. I need a Savior. If we would admit that and then ask for the Savior to save us. That's what God was doing with Jesus. God gave us his son, Jesus Christ. He took the death penalty in our place so that we could be completely forgiven of everything we've ever done and be made holy through Jesus so that we can now have a relationship with God both here and now and forever in heaven. We can become qualified. The word that the Bible uses is a word called pardon. That God is willing to pardon us of all of our sins and crimes that we've committed against him and disqualified us for heaven, right? And we've actually seen this work in real life. For instance, there's been people who have committed crimes, gone to court, the gavel's been passed, the judge has said, hey, listen, we all know you're guilty, you even admit you're guilty, and for your crimes, you're going to not just jail, you're going to await in jail to go to the death penalty. And did you know that there actually is a way that somebody could get off of death row? It's called a pardon. The one in the authority, the governor, can grant what's called a pardon for that person's crimes, and they literally can go free. Not because of something they did, because the deeds are already done, you can't undo it. Not because they tried to clean up their act while they were stuck in the jail cell, because that doesn't change anything. But simply out of mercy, the person who has the authority can give them a pardon and they can go free. And did you know it's actually on historical record that there have been people who have been granted a pardon from the death penalty and they've refused to take it. And so even though the offer was there to be set free, they themselves still had to go to the death penalty. Folks, in a nutshell, that's what God's doing every single day with all of us this side of heaven. While you still have breath, you still have an opportunity to receive God's pardon. He's willing to forgive you of all your sins if you would just receive his pardon through Jesus Christ. Again, that's what he was doing on the cross. The cross was the death penalty of the day. But since we weren't there, and since we can't earn it, it's a gift from God, you have to receive that by faith. Reach out even today from your own spiritual jail cell, if you will, and say yes to Jesus and God's pardon, so that you can be set free and go to heaven. The Bible says that if you will confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the grave, you will be saved. Hey, folks, if that's you, don't delay. You may not even have tomorrow. Today could be your last day. Please accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confess with your mouth he is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the grave. And the Bible says you will be saved. Well, this has been Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries. If there's anything that we could do for you, our information and number will come up here shortly. And please don't hesitate to contact us. But remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.